வந்தேகம்
The following is a conversation with His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, recorded on the 19th of February, 1975, in Caracas, Venezuela.
Present moment, it is required that the leading man should understand the aims of life and introduce it in the society for the general benefit of the human society. The present chaotic pollution of the society, just like we see on the road, cars are running with great speed this way and that way. But they do not know what is the aim of life. Ask any one of them, what is the aim of life and why you are running so speedy and what is the business? Everyone will say, I've got business, I'm going hurriedly. And if I ask, what is that business? The business means to earn some money and maintain the family. That's all. So, is it a fact that to earn some money and maintain the family, or at night sleep, or sex indulgence, is that the aim of life? So that is my submission to the heads of the cultural movement. Is that the cultural end to sleep at night, or sex indulgence, and at night earn money and maintain the family? I am asking this question.
He says that he agrees that the goal of life is not that, but that from his childhood he's been trained in a certain way and he has not been taught anything else, and how can he achieve a different way of life?
Yes, that we are teaching this Krishna consciousness movement, how he can change it. Therefore he is asking all leading men to understand this movement and join it. That is your request.
There is a question I would like to ask. I do know that it is not the aim of life just to earn money, keep your family, go to bed, have sex, but it is part of life.
That I know also, everyone knows. But beyond that, there must be some aim of life.
Being so, I think that there should be some kind of humbleness, the necessary humbleness.
No, humbleness is of course good qualification, but the humbleness you will find in animals also. Very humble. If you cut his throat, he will not tell it. You see? So, humbleness also, that is another thing. But what should be the aim of life? What is the actual aim of life? If we forget the aim of life and simply become humble like ass, is that very good quality? The ass is very humble. He load upon it tons of load. It will not protest. Very humble.
He says that the goal of life is to achieve the transcendence.
Yes. Right. The goal of life is realization of transcendence. So that they are forgetting. They have made their goal of life a sense getting.
What
kind of transcendence
would that be?
Transcendence means the absolute truth. What do you mean by transcendence?
By transcendence, I understand that the universal,
Search for God.
Yes.
I was scared for a deal.
Right, you are. This life, human life, is distinguished from animal life because the animal cannot inquire about transcendence. The human life, if it is not interested in transcendence, then he is animal. He simply is interested in the bodily demands of life, namely eating, sleeping, sex and defense. These are bodily demands of life. So if we think the dog is eating on the street and we are eating very palatable dishes, nicely made, very tasteful, that is advancement of civilization. That is not advancement of life. Because it is after all eating. Similarly, sleeping. The animals sleep on the street and we sleep in very nice apartment. But in sleeping, we dream horrible things more than the animals. So eating, sleeping, sex life and trying for defense, these are common formulas both for the animals and for the man. Therefore, a human being is distinguished from the animal when he inquires about transcendence. And that is explained in the great literature, Brahma Sutra, or the philosophy of Vedanta Sutra, Athat Brahma Jigyasa. Now we have got this human form of life. We must inquire about the Brahma or transcendence. So our bodily necessities of life should be simplified as much as it is required. We must save time for inquiring about transcendence. So unless we inquire about the transcendence, then we are two-legged animals. This is culture. This is the aim of life.
He's saying that in European history, many, many people, in the name of looking for transcendence, there have been so many wars, hatred between men, and you may know in Spain they have what is called the Inquisition, where they burn so many people. And so he's saying psychologically that his brain tells him that in the name of searching after transcendence, there's been so much bad, so how is this different?
Yeah, the difference is transcendence is beyond our mind, bodily activities, mental activities, or intelligence. The European philosophers and transcendentalists do not know actually what is transcendence. They understand that there is something, but they do not know what it is. Therefore, they speculate by their imperfect senses. Gradually, it becomes craziness. Therefore, you find that defect.
So do you mean to say that this is just a contemplative thing that doesn't really have an active influence upon the society that changes it?
No. We must first of all understand that our senses are imperfect. Just like we are sitting in this room, we have got our eyes, but we cannot see what is there going on beyond this world. The sun is 1,400,000 times bigger than this earth, and you are seeing just like it this way. So the eyelid is just near the eye, but we cannot see what is the eyelid. If the light is off, we cannot see. So we can see under certain conditions. Then what is the value of our seeing? Even if we manufacture a telescope, that is also manufactured by the imperfect senses. So it is also not perfect. So anything understood by manipulating our imperfect senses, that is not real knowledge. So, our process of understanding real knowledge is to take it from the person who has the real knowledge. Just like if we contemplate or speculate, who is my father? It is never possible to understand who is my father. But if we receive the words from mother, that here is your father, that is purpose. Therefore, the process of knowledge should be not to speculate, but to receive it from the perfect person. If we receive knowledge from a mental speculator, that is not perfect.
What would be the mechanism or process to get this perfect knowledge and to purify ourselves?
First of all, we have to accept this truth that perfect knowledge can be received from the perfect person. Just I have given the example, who is my father? You can understand it from the perfect person mother. If somebody speculates, this gentleman may be your father, this gentleman may be your father. That is not perfect knowledge. The perfect knowledge is with the mother. Mother says, here is your father. That is perfect. That's like, therefore in the Bhagavad Gita it is said, tad vidhi panipatena kind of pariprasnena sivaya upadashanti tad jnanam jnanina tattva darshana. Now, what is the meaning of tattva darshana?
The seer of the truth.
Yes. You have to, just like Mara has seen the father. So her knowledge is perfect. I am not seeing my father. Because my birth there was father. I do not know who is my father. Mother has seen the father. So you have to approach such a person who has seen the truth. That is the way out. Now you have to find out the person who has seen the transcendence and receive knowledge of transcendence from him, then he will be perfect.
You're imperfect. So, a master, for everyone who really understands, or who claims to really understand, be able to know perfection, to see the truth.
Yes.
How can he, is imperfect?
You are right.
Sense,
you are right.
Know the real truth.
Yeah, that's what I say.
And how can I get with my imperfect the perfection brought by the master?
Same example. Just like the mother has seen the father. And the mother says not only to her son, but other gentlemen, that here is the father of the son. So the other gentleman who has not seen the father, but on the verification by the mother, he accepts the reality. Hearing from the perfect is also perfect. If I get the chance of hearing from the perfect, then I may not be perfect, but because I've heard from the perfect, what I say, that is perfect.
He's saying that he accepts that we can receive perfect knowledge. But then, because I am perfect, I make an imperfect interpretation.
Now you not allow interpretation. As soon as you interpret, you become imperfect. Therefore, we are presenting Bhagavad Gita as it is. Don't interpret. Before this, all these rascals are simply interpreting and spoiling the whole thing. So this is the fact.
So what you read our heart for is blind faith.
Not blind faith. Perfect man is perfect. Unless you understand that he is perfect, don't hear from him. That is blind. Without knowing that he is perfect, if you hear, that is your imperfectness. Why should you try to hear from a person whom you do not know perfectly well that he is perfect? If you hear blindly, that is your imperfectness. You must be, first of all, convinced that the person from whom I am hearing is perfect, then you know
this. That conviction is not the problem.
It is not convention. It is not convention. It is actually knowing that I have approached this perfect man, just like the same example. If you approach the mother of the son, she is the perfect, to know the father. And if you have known from the father and mother that this boy's father is this gentleman, that knowledge is perfect. Even though you have not seen why the father was begotten, giving birth, it doesn't matter. But because you have heard from the mother, she is perfect, therefore your knowledge received from her is perfect. therefore it is Tattvadarshini who has seen the truth. So we have to approach such person who has seen the truth.
Well, that brings me to my original question again. How do I
know? That is another thing, that you have to search out such person. Otherwise, your knowledge is imperfect. Now, that then question will be how to find out such person. The next question will be. But unless you approach such perfect person, you cannot have person. That is the problem. Therefore, the conclusion is that we should not speculate about perfect knowledge, but we should try to approach the perfect person and receive knowledge. This is the conclusion.
You say that in the Catholic, you want to say that in the Catholic Church, how they also demand the same kind of faith. You said they all have bad experience with that. And then you want to...
No. I can't understand. The thing is that everyone can take advantage of this statement that I am perfect. That's why so many rogues and bogus persons are. But it is your duty to know whether he is perfect.
So
it is your duty to test whether he is perfect. That requires intelligence. If you unintelligently accept some bogus person as perfect, that is your fault. You must be assured that the person from whom I am asking is perfect, then it's
it.
Otherwise, don't think.
Why
do
you always say perfect person?
Because the knowledge must be perfect, otherwise imperfect
knowledge.
You see what I'm saying? It's perfect doctrine. Why do you say perfect person instead of saying a perfect philosophy?
No, unless the philosophy is given by a perfect person, how the philosophy can be perfect? Philosophy means searching after the truth. So, if he does not know how to find out the truth, what is the meaning of a philosophy? I was a student of philosophy. My professor was Dr. Atkua. He used to say that philosophy is the science of science. So unless he is a perfect scientist, how he can lead science?
I have more questions. Why do we want to trust him?
I am not wanting. I am simply distributing the transcendental knowledge.
We will not transcend
him. No. No, there is proof. It is not even. What you say, you have no proof. But what I say, I have got proof. You become your own authority. But what I say, I have got greater authority. That's why two lawyers speaking before the court, the lawyer who gives quotation from the authority, he gains the case.
Did you have any evidence?
Yes.
Could you tell us your experiences in that field?
Yes, that of course it takes time for you to understand. Because unless you are a lawyer, you cannot understand why the other lawyer is giving quotation. But the court will accept.
He still wants to go on the same question as before. If we are content just to purify ourselves, or we also want to help the society?
You do not know what is self. How you purify? You do not know what is self. Can you say what is self?
Is it possible that he could spend his whole life trying to find himself, and at the end of his life not find himself, and meanwhile he didn't help the society?
Not only one life, but millions of lives he will not be able to know. Unless you change your policy.
What is the value of the transcendence? The value of the transcendence.
Because you are transcendence. You are actually seeking transcendence because you are transcendence.
He says that because he doesn't know what the transcendence is, there's no value for him, it's only a name. He doesn't know why to look for it.
That is, so first of all, as I say, that you are also transcendence. You just try to know yourself first. Then you know what is transcendence. You are the sample of transcendence. So if you see the sample, you can know the whole thing. It's like if you test one drop of seawater, then you can understand what is the chemical composition of the seawater. Therefore, your first business is to know yourself that you are not this body. In this way, when you know yourself, then you know the original transcendence.
Why do you make so much emphasis?
Because without this, you are animal.
What's wrong with being an animal?
Animal means you are living a very risky life.
A very?
Risky life.
Con mucho riesgo.
An animal, the animal is always in danger.
Animal.
A dog is running, but at any moment, he can be in danger. I have seen in my own eyes, in New York, it is little in the off from New York, in the month of December or January, the dog was jumping and he fell in the water pool and immediately died. It was so cold, it collapsed immediately. So what is the use of this dog-like jumping? Besides that, in the animal society, there is no question of culture, religion, philosophy, science. Animals, they do not require it. But why man requires it? That means human society is searching after the transcendence. But without knowing the way how to understand, they are now engaged in different ways. You find out this verse from Bhagavatam. Jivasya tattva jigyasa. Now just see how karma he find out.
This is the first book, Jivasya.
Kamasya nandriya priti.
It's in the first volume.
Yeah. You know that?
It's in the first volume.
Find out this verse. Kamasya nandriya priti jiveta javata. Jivasya tattva jigyasa. Jatsehana karma hi.
They still have doubts on this point. That how can we know that it's worth our trouble? That if we were to dedicate our lives to this searching for the transcendence, how can we be sure that at the end of it we won't have wasted our lives? How can we be sure that the transcendence is actually worth searching
for? First of all, you must understand the importance of the business. Then we can do it. If you do not understand the importance of the business, then you cannot.
He says that he feels you've already answered this question, that they didn't catch it. That he thinks the key is that you said that the truth is not outside, it's actually within us. We have to find it within us.
Yes.
He says, why do you put so much emphasis on the personalism after liberation? Because it seems like that to him that the ideal perfect thing would be the unity rather than having something separate.
That is your ideal, imperfect ideal.
Are you perfect, Master?
Why, yes, because I am not from the perfect. I am not perfect, but what I say, that is perfect. That's why a child does not know what is this dikta form. But he has learned from the father this is dikta form. So when he says this is dikta form, it is perfect. The child is not perfect, but because he has heard from his father, perfect. So the knowledge is perfect.
That if you are not perfect, how can you interpret the truth?
Because I am giving the perfect truth. Anyone will accept if you left.
So?
Just like a child says that this is dikta form, if you use it like this, he'll get this result. That is perfect.
He says that not all knowledge is so objective. For example, in the matter of understanding society, the communists have their theory, the capitalists have their theory, and there's millions of theories.
So that is not knowledge, that is art. That's an electrician. He knows how to mix the two wires and bring the current. But that is not knowledge. That is a business or art for temporary accuracy. And because he knows the art, how to bring the current, it does not mean that he knows the absolute truth. the people are taking at the present moment electrician as the knower of the absolute.
He's saying that the knowledge you are giving is perfect because it is perfect knowledge, not because you are giving it.
What?
Revelado. Oh, because it is revealed knowledge.
Yes.
Perfect because it is revealed.
Anyone can take it. It's like we are giving knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita. But the Bhagavad Gita is open for everyone. It is not for me only.
Well,
it's for you also. That is our movement, that you take the perfect knowledge and be happy and make your life successful.
So he said, one thing is to understand theoretically the knowledge, the other is to practice it. What is the method for it?
Everything is there. All questions are economic, social, religious, politics, whatever you want, plus transcendental knowledge.
It seems to him that this involves a retiring from ordinary life, Western life, even maybe retiring from ordinary Eastern
life. It is not the question of Western life or Eastern life. The life, just like Western life they eat and the Eastern life they eat. Now the question is how to supply eating.
He said that things, the way we dress, our whole way of life will make our movement only available to a few people because it requires someone who is prepared to completely change his way of life.
Well, when there is question of knowledge, only you will find few people to get the knowledge. When you put this question, find out some learned scholar, generally their number will be very little. But one thing is that if there is one man in real knowledge, he can distribute the knowledge to many. The example is just like Ekas Chandra Samohanti. If you get one moon at night, that is sufficient to dissipate the darkness. And there are millions of stars, it is useless. So it is necessarily not required that everyone should be in perfect knowledge. But if one man is in perfect knowledge, hundreds and thousands can hear from him and they can perform. So it does not depend on the quantity. It depends on the quality.
He's saying that you give the example of a dictaphone, that it seems like if he just recorded the knowledge within his brain and then repeated it, that he would just be like an instrument and he might not really be conscious of the knowledge himself. He'd just be transmitting it. It seems like he thinks that's a defect because might not be conscious.
It doesn't require. Just like I am working with this dictaphone. I'm not a mechanic. But my business is going on. That is required. I have read the instruction paper that you use this microphone like this, you put this button and 3-4 instructions. So I have learned it and it is giving my business, that's all. Just like this lamp, the instructions put this button, it is on. So I know I will get the light. Now I am not electrician, it doesn't require.
Yeah, la cosa.
That much knowledge is sufficient. Because I want the light. So the electrician says, just put this button in this way, light will be there. So my business is here.
He's saying that, for example, he could listen to everything you were saying, and then he could repeat it, and someone might say to him that, oh, you're an expert, you're a master. But actually he's not, he's simply repeating.
No. This is example by receiving a knowledge. You must corroborate by your knowledge or by your experience, by the method. Just like in the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that Arjuna was declining to fight in the war. So Krishna said that you are simply lamenting on this body, but you do not know what is the active principle of the body. So, this you can understand very nicely, that everyone is working for this body. But nobody knows what the active principle of the body. without the active principle of the body, this body alive or dead is the same thing, lump of matter. So he accepted Arjuna as teacher. Arjuna accepted Krishna as teacher, therefore he is chastising him that you are talking like a learned man, but you are lamenting on this body. But no learned man laments on this body either dead or alive. Because without the knowledge of the active principle which is moving the body, what is the use of simply understanding the bodily construction? The medical science knows the construction of the body, anatomy, physiology, the bone, the muscle, the blood and everything, but he does not know what is the active principle. When the active principle is gone, they cannot repair it. So there may be vast advancement of medical science, but if the medical science cannot check birth, death, old age and disease, then what is the use of it? Well, it may have some temporary use, but actually it is not science. Nobody wants to die. Is there medical science which can stop death?
Are you kidding? What is CI would send the medical people in Paranam?
So that knowledge may be temporary, beneficial, but ultimately it is not the knowledge. I am anxious for not die. Nobody wants to die. This is my anxiety. And where is the chance? So we are satisfied with some temporary knowledge. We have no ultimate knowledge. And because it is very difficult subject matter, we have avoided it.
Y porque es una está, o sea,
very carefully.
Because he does not see, he is disappointed because he does not see any difference between Hare Krishna and all the other religions.
That's your view, that's what we find divine. I know we have no also difference with other religion. Now, other religion, they are also searching after God. Religion, conception of religion without God is not religion. You admit or not?
All religions say they have knowledge of God.
Anyway, religion means searching after God.
For instance, we have idolized, in a way, a new God, which is money. So,
he said, for example, they have a new God, which is money.
Yeah, because you are imperfect. That's what you are thinking like that.
See, you can have a religion without a
religion. Now, suppose you are on deathbed. Can money save you? Then why do you say all money is all? How can say all money is all power? God is all power, but money is not all power. Then therefore money cannot be God.
Don't religion or God can give you eternal life?
What is that?
What is that?
Then he says money is God.
No, he's
God. I'm not saying that.
Then
people down there.
The people are rascal fools. What is the value of their knowledge? Therefore, knowledge, man of knowledge equals.
Well, I insist, there are many religions that have no God.
Religion cannot be many. Religion is one.
Religion no place in a bunch of
people. If anyone says there are many religions, that he does not know what is religion. Just like science, 2 + 2 is equal to 4. It is equally applicable everywhere. You cannot say that to the Christian 2 + 2 = 5. That is the Christian science or Christian mathematics. That you cannot say. Science and mathematics is the same everywhere. The God is one. Therefore knowledge of God should be one. There cannot be two.
Well, that's idea, but it's not so.
You hear, because you imperfectly have so many things, but we hear differently.
I know that, you know, there is only one God.
We say the God is one, whether you accept it or not. Unless God is one, there cannot be God. God cannot be many. God means, in the dictionary it is said, supreme being. The supreme being can be one. If there is competition of supreme being, then he is not supreme being.
That is the philosophy.
Then we have to find out who is the supreme being. You cannot say you find somebody who has got little power, you cannot say, now here is God. The supreme power. That is God. Just like money. That is also one of the qualifications of God. But money, he has got all the money. You may have got some money, some millions of dollars. I may have got little more than that. But nobody can say, I have got all the money. Or one can say that I have got all the money, then he's God.
Is the final goal of transcendence then immortality? Is the ultimate goal of transcendence immortality?
All perfection.
Then what would that be then? What would that be, all perfection?
There is transcendence. You come in contact with the transcendence, all perfect, then you become all perfect.
Is God perfect?
Yes.
Is God perfect?
Yes, otherwise how is God? He's God.
Is transcendence God?
You want to know, is God the transcendence?
What is the transcendence? Find out the meaning.
First I'll read in English. To transcend, doesn't have the word, that only has the word transcend. Go beyond.
Not to that. What? I want to say transcendence. So find out the noun.
The noun is not here.
Not here?
But I can change it into the noun. To transcend is that which goes beyond, that which exceeds the limits, rises above. And all the transcendence means transcend, that which transcends the ordinary limits, the supreme, the preeminent.
This is the meaning is that our mind, our bodily activities, our words, they're all limited. They're all limited. Do you accept or not?
By time.
Whatever it may be. It may be by time. Suppose a child, he can say, I'm now foolish for the time. But he's foolish at that time. That is not argument. That the child expects to become an M.A., that does not mean he can say he is M.A. at that time. So you cannot make time. Unless you are perfect in knowledge, you cannot say that you are in knowledge. Time, everyone has got the chance. In time, he will be perfect knowledge. There is no disagreement. But so long he is imperfect, he must admit that he is imperfect. But a businessman, a small businessman, he is trying to become millionaire. And if he says, I will become millionaire in time, that does not mean he is millionaire. He must have become millionaire, then he should claim.
If he accepts that he is imperfect, with what experience qualifies him to talk about
that? That I have already discussed, that you have to go to the perfect and take a key experience, and then gradually you become a perfect.
So everything would be an act of faith, simply to believe.
Not believe. You just corroborate it with your experimental knowledge, and you'll find it is yes, right.
He's saying that in order to do any activity requires some motivation. And so therefore, one gets this realization by practicing, but it seems like someone would have to be a special person with something inside him in order to have the determination to practice it in order to go ahead to try to get the realization.
Yes, that is required. There must be determination, and whatever knowledge you get, that must be for practical use. Now, just as in the Bhagavad Gita, that he says that the proprietor of the body is within the body. Now you make your thoughts working on this, that what is that proprietor? And you find that actually this body is not the proprietor, but body is the property. The proprietor is within the body. Then your knowledge is perfect. Then your thoughts, your reasoning, you accept the statement of Krishna that the proprietor of the body is within you. And that is knowledge perfect.
See,
what Krishna says, that is perfect. But you corroborate it with your reason, with your enlightened knowledge, and if you find that it is perfect, then it is perfect.
He's saying that with his psychology, he cannot accept it. There should be some clue, some key that could permit him to accept it.
Oh, yes. A psychology is perfect when there is clue. Otherwise, he will speculate all your life.
Then he's humbly asking you to give him a little bit of the clue.
Yes. It's like, it is very common sense clue. Krishna says the proprietor of the body is within the body. Now, when you are a child, so that in your child body, you are present there. And in your boyhood body, you are present there. In your youthhood body, you are present there. Now you are middle aged, you are there. I am old man, I am there. So body, the childhood body, the boyhood body, the youthhood body, they are no more existing. But I am existing. Therefore, I am eternal. The body is temporary. Therefore, the conclusion is, that as I have changed so many bodies, but still I am existing. Therefore, when I shall change this body, I will exist. Now, I transmigrated from babyhood boy to childhood, childhood to boyhood, boyhood to youthhood. Similarly, I shall transmigrate to another body. A young man can say, no, I don't believe in the old body. But that does not mean he will not get the old body. He will get it by laws of nature. That is compulsory. Similarly, if somebody says, I don't believe in the next life, that does not mean his authority. Nature will give it. Nature will not agree or obey the imperfect person. The same example, if the young man says, I don't want old body, nature will not hear. Nature will give it, force it. You must accept old body. But everyone does not want to die. But nature pushes it forcibly. Yes, you must die. So, after all, we are perfectly under the control of superior authority. We cannot become independent, and our independent thoughts have no value.
He's saying that he thinks this will increase our problem because psychologically it's bad that nature is so big and we're so tiny.
Well, you have already increased your problem.
How? Huh?
There is no solution. There is no solution. You have no solution for anything. So you have increased your problem. Without perfect knowledge, you simply increase your problem.
How can we get this perfect knowledge and how can we practice if we're like prisoners?
That I've already explained. You have to go to the perfect person.
He said, first of all, that he asked you to give evidence, but that you did not. You said that you have evidence, but you did not.
Here is evidence. As said, that Krishna says the proprietor lives within body. Now you just try to understand and you'll find that yes, this body is like this is a property. The proprietor is within. That is perfect knowledge. Just like a big meal going on. But if somebody does not find out the proprietor, that does it mean that there is no proprietor?
I am the owner of my own self.
You are the not owner, but you are occupier.
Yes.
Just like a house, there are two persons. One is the tenant and the other is the landlord. The proprietor is the landlord and the tenant is the occupier. Actually, that is self-realization, that I must know that I am occupier of this body, but I am not proprietor. The proprietor is God.
He's saying that all religions agree that man can be perfected, although he may not be perfect.
And we are not talking of religion, we are talking of philosophy and science. When you talk about these things, that the occupier of the body is within the body, it is neither any Christian knowledge or non Hindu knowledge. It is fact. It is a science. The science cannot be I believe or you believe or you, that is not science. Science is science. I have already said 2 plus 2 equal to 4 is equally applicable everywhere. Similarly, this is knowledge that the proprietor or the occupier of the body is within the body. You can study from any angle of this, and the fact is there.
Is it transcendent?
Yes.
I don't care.
That occupier
who is the owner of my body? I know that it is not going to be eternally mine,
yes.
Because this body is going to corrupt,
yes.
Going to die, and we will have to bury it, so bury it, so that you know everybody will be happy. But I don't care about that. Because
that is animal. That is animal. That is animal consciousness.
Right.
That is animal consciousness. That is dog doesn't care. Similarly, if you don't care, then you are no better than the dog.